Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Buffalo defensive line.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Lots of draft talk on the program tonight. We'll talk with Kevin Weidel, our draft go-to guy from ESPN at 7:30. Neil Hornsby of ProFootballFocus.com talks about the Buffalo Bills' needs and every team's needs in the upcoming draft. And we'll talk about some Wisconsin prospects in the draft with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
This is pandemonium.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges the man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson.
This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, just 2 days now, 2 days until the NFL draft. I bet you can't wait. I can't wait. Let's go. Let's get this over. Let's get this started, and then let's get it over with. Good evening. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Happy to have you in the audience tonight. Thanks for tuning in. 2 days away, 2 days and 1 hour from now, the names start coming off the board in the 2014 NFL Draft. And a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors, a lot of reports are out there. The reports persist that the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions, it is said, those two teams, it reportedly, are interested in moving up in the draft. And a report came out this morning from Ian Rappaport, NFL media insider. He reported that, his words, two teams in particular, the Bills and the Detroit Lions, have looked into moving inside the top 5. He also said that both the Lions and the Bills are not interested in giving up the farm to move up. It says they're looking for a bargain when they try to move up. Who are they looking for? Who do you think? I have a thought on that. You may, too. Who is it the Bills are looking for if, in fact, they are trying to move up in the draft? Who do they have their eye on? And who do you think or who do you hope it is they have their eye on? Who do you think it is and who do you hope it is? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We talked about this last night, too. I think we talked about how much do you pay to move up? We've addressed that a lot over the last week or two. How much do you give up to move up into the draft? Obviously, it depends on where you have to move up to. But if the Bills want to move up within the top 10, who do they have their eye on? And how high do they have to go? I'm thinking it might be Sammy Watkins, a difference-making type of wide receiver, Sammy Watkins. If they got to get up, if they're looking to get up, go up and get Sammy Watkins, you'd have to think they have to move at least to 4, maybe higher. And if you get much higher than that, you're talking about next year's first rounder, I would think. Are they willing to do that? I don't think so. I don't hope so. I would hope that they would keep their first round pick. I know they want to be aggressive. I know they like Sammy Watkins a lot. And the fact that Ian Rappaport and others continue to report that the Bills are interested in moving up indicates to me that where there's some smoke, there might be a little bit of fire, that the Bills have made it clear that they are interested in moving up. Ian Rappaport said one executive told him that as of now, the two teams, the Bills and the Lions, are looking for a bargain to move up. And the focus has been moving into the number 3 pick held by Jacksonville. To move up from 9 to 3, you would think would require a first-round pick next year. Obviously, you're flipping first-rounders this year. First round next year as well. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm hoping that maybe, small chance, that maybe if Watkins is their target, which I think is the only logical target they might have to move up in the draft, but as Watkins is their target, I'm thinking that maybe they could get away with a second rounder plus something else. But who do you think? Who do you think the Bills, if these reports are true, and we don't know that they are, but it is a persistent report that the Bills are interested in moving up in the draft, who do you think they're interested in going to get? And who do you hope they're interested in trying to get up in the early picks of the draft this year. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter as well, at John Murphy Show. I don't know how long my voice is going to last tonight, so you may have to call in a lot tonight. A couple of tweets already. Chemo says they want Mike Evans because they don't have to give up a first-round pick if EJ doesn't work. I'm trying to think about that. He means to get up to where you would draft Mike Evans, you wouldn't have to give up a first-rounder. Yeah, I agree. I don't know if EJ figures into that. Sean Franklin tweets in, man, so many toys. Really would like Sammy if we trade up, but obviously I just feel we are not in the position to lose picks. That's an issue. They only have the six picks so far. Matt Williams tweets in, I think Khalil Mack could achieve legend status with the Bills, face of the franchise for the next 10 years. BDM tweets in, given the Bills only have six picks, why move up when you have multiple needs at tight end, wide receiver, offensive line, linebacker, running back, etc. to fill? Yeah, that's the argument against it, trying to move up at all. And I think if I'm thinking, and I have no inside info on this, but if I'm the Bills, I'm thinking there's a guy up there that we really like. There's a move that we would make to go up and get this guy. But I don't think they're desperate to move up. I don't think they have a list of two or three players they would want to move up to get. I think it's one guy. I think it's one guy. And the more I think about it, it's probably not Clowney. It's probably not obviously any of the quarterbacks. It's probably not Mike Evans. It probably is, to my way of thinking, Sammy Watkins. JC tweets in, they're the experts at this. I'll leave it up to them and hope that their years of training gets us all the best players. BDM tweets in, literally the only player we're trading up for is Clowney, wide receiver and offensive tackle are deep enough this year. Trading up is superfluous. And, give us, what do you think? I mean, the reports persist about the Bills trying to make a move up in the draft. Who is it they have their eye on? And who is it you hope they have their eye on? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Phone lines open. 803-0550 the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. John in Lockport. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I agree with you 100% that if we go up, I think it's got to be for Sammy Watkins, because as we see now, that a game-changing wide receiver makes all the difference in this NFL. And I think we'd be much more inclined to do it, knowing that we got the extra two last year hit with Kiko Alonso. So if we gave away two, kind of a wash there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, good point. They did get two second-rounders last year. Watkins makes sense as the target for the Bills, doesn't it? I mean, I think this draft for the Bills, this offseason for the Bills, much of it has been all about surrounding E.J. Manuel with talent. Watkins would be a difference-making type of talent to put on this roster. I don't know that Mike Evans is, at least not right away. I don't know that any of the tackles are difference makers. Watkins is a difference maker, it would seem to me. Do you agree, John?
Absolutely. I think Watkins is the only player worth going up for in the draft. That Clowney is hit or miss. There's so many tackles that are good enough that you get one in the second round. And if you look through the last two drafts, the number one consensus wide receiver in the last, I don't know, five drafts, have all been hits. From Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, they've all been hits.
Yeah, I was thinking of Blackman down. How high was he? He was pretty up high in the draft down in Jacksonville.
Oh, you're right. He was four, but yeah. It's still young. Only 2 years ago. The three wide receivers take three to develop.
Yeah, you're right. Although Blackman certainly has not been on the track towards development. He's trying to stay out of trouble down there, but you make a good point. How high up do they have to go to get Watkins, do you think, John?
I think Cleveland. I think they have to go to four.
Yeah, you might be right. And you said you're willing to give up a second rounder. Are you willing to part with a first rounder if you have to move up that high?
Not till we know what E.J. Manuel is all about. Because if E.J. Manuel doesn't develop this year, that could be another top 10 pick.
Yeah. All right.
I think maybe even two twos.
You've thought about it. That's good, John. Thanks very much for calling. Again, the reports continue that the Bills are interested in trading up. Ian Rappaport of NFL.com reporting today that the Bills and the Detroit Lions are continually mentioned as teams that are interested in trading up high up into the first round of the draft. If that's the case, what are they looking for? Who are they looking for? And what would you like to see them look for if they trade up into the first few picks? Rick in Buffalo, or Nick in Buffalo. Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
How you doing, John?
Okay.
I have a suggestion. I've been thinking about it a lot. I really think that the Bills are going to take the tackle from Michigan. They really haven't talked much about them, and I like that because the Bills kind of throw smoke a lot. I think the Watkins thing is all smoke. I really don't think we're going for a receiver because of the addition of Mike Williams. And I just really like Lawan. I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan, and the guy's a beast. He's huge. We need to keep Manuel up, and the Bills keep stressing that Manuel is the guy. I don't like Johnny Manziel for the Bills. It doesn't make sense. Manziel is going to get crushed in the NFL, in my opinion. And I really just think the Bills need that right tackle, that nasty Michigan guy, and I think he'll help Manuel succeed in the NFL.
All right, thanks.
I like Manuel. I'm sorry, John.
No, it's okay.
I like Manuel. I think you like Manuel.
I do.
I believe it, and I think we got the guy. We just got to keep him on his feet and let him keep going, you know. He beat Cam Newton. He beat those guys last year, and it was only his first year. He's only going to get better.
Okay, thanks very much, Nick. I like Manuel, too. I don't know about Taylor Lewan. I don't get the sense that he is in the plans here, but we'll see. That could be the ultimate smokescreen because you're right. They haven't said a whole lot about him, but I don't get the sense that Taylor Lewan is in the plans here. We'll see, and I don't think you got to trade up to get any of those I wouldn't trade up to get any of those tackles, including Jake Matthews or Robinson. Let the tackles fall to you, and if one is there at 9 and there's a pretty good chance that one of them, preferably Jake Matthews, is there at number 9, go ahead and take him if you don't want to take the tight end. All right, we're talking about the draft just 2 days away with continuing reports. Today, Ian Rappaport saying that the Bills and the Detroit Lions are still talking about moving up. Who is it you think the Bills are interested in, and who would you like to see them interested in? Give us a call. Let us know what you think, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Jay in Hamburg. Hello, Jay.
Hi, John. How are you doing today?
Okay.
All right. I think they're after Watkins, too. My suggestion, I'm not sold on Watkins. If I had my choice, I'd stay put and take Ebron, but if you are going to go after Watkins, instead of giving a future number one pick, do you think maybe something like Stevie in a third or something would do it? Because if we drafted another wide receiver, we'd be pretty deep there with who we've been drafting wide receivers like crazy lately, and Brett.
So what are you saying? Include Stevie in a package to move up to get Watkins?
Yeah. Do you think it'd be possible that have Stevie in that package? That would make more sense to me than removing the number one.
Yeah, would that be enough? What would it take, Stevie plus what, to move from number
nine
to...
This year's first,
right.
Stevie. I don't know, maybe a second? Future?
Might be. You just don't know what Stevie's value would be, you know? I don't know. I think that's worth thinking, and especially since if it is Watkins you're going up to get... And if you have to move, say, Stevie Johnson to do that, then you're replacing Stevie with a talented receiver. In other words, you wouldn't be carving out a hole in your roster to do that, which, I wouldn't rule that out. I just don't know what value Stevie would add to a trade like that. I don't know. I'm not saying he wouldn't. I just don't know how much other teams would value his inclusion in a deal like that. Let's go to Tim in Lancaster. Hello, Tim. Welcome. You're on the air. How you doing?
Good evening, John. How are you?
Good.
I would suggest that they're going to try to get one of the top tackles and Ebron. However, they got to finagle it to get those two picks in the top round, but it's going to cost them a fifth, a sixth, a seventh. They're going to get the tackle and Ebron and not the receiver.
Yeah, they only have six picks. So if they're going to get two of the top 15, basically they won't have anything to do Friday and Saturday, right? I mean, to get up to get two in the top 15, they hang on to their one.
Give something away from next year.
Are you up for that? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'd be fine. Let's get the offense done this year. Get a tackle and a good tight end, and we got enough receivers.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Julian in Rochester. Hi, Julian. Welcome. You're on the air.
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Okay.
Good. I definitely think that they're going to go for someone like Sammy Watkins. I mean, the thing is, you don't move up in the draft, especially when you're giving up, when you have to give up that much to get an offensive tackle or even a defensive lineman when your defensive line is already shored up. You're pretty much going to be going for a specialty player, and the only one worth that is Sammy Watkins, in my opinion.
You know, I agree with you. I think from the Bills' perspective, the if they're going to move up, which I'm not sure they are, and again, it's been reported a couple of times, and Ian Rappaport raised it again today, if they're going to move up, the logical one to me would be Sammy Watkins, the target that they have in mind. They're going to get a if they stay at nine, they're likely to get a pretty good tackle. They could even get a tackle later on in the draft. I don't know that you'd want to move up to get a tackle. I don't think you'd have to move up to get Eric Ebron. If they stay at nine, Ebron would probably be there. But for Watkins, it would take a move up, and it's all going to come down to the question of cost. I think that's the kind of guy that I would invest in if I was going to move up, if I were the Buffalo Bills. Here is Edric in Jersey. Hello, Edric. Welcome. You're on the air.
How are you, man? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I can feel the excitement in the air for this draft. I mean, it's overwhelming. I can't wait for these next 2 days.
I agree.
John, you know, I'm not really for the whole moving up thing, even though I do think if we were, I think it's for sure Sammy Watkins. But I just don't think we're there yet, John. I don't think we're in that position where, like, you know, we're that one player away from making the playoffs. I think that's more of last year, and it really depends, John, on how E.J. Manuel plays this year. If he plays like a top 12, top 15 quarterback, John, then I say next year, you know what, give up a first round the following year, and let's get whoever that number one guy or whatever a pressing need is for the 2015 draft. I think this year we either stay put or we move back in the draft and we just get the best player available. Be it first round, if it's C.J. Mosley, or if it's Aaron Donald, if it's Eric Ebron, I mean, I don't care who it is. Let's just draft the best player available, and let's start building a roster with just great players. When someone goes down, the other guy steps up. And that way, I think we can really just start really building for what it is that we're looking for, and that's to be consistent winners and to finally be back in the playoffs, John. Thanks for your time, and I can't wait for this draft, buddy.
Thanks, Edric. Thank you for calling. You're extremely patient, I think, in terms of Bills fans. And I think speaking for many Bills fans, they are not as patient as you, which is fine. Some people say, you know, the building has gone on too long. Now, this is the first draft under Doug Whaley as general manager, the second draft with Doug Marrone as head coach. But I think they don't want to wait much longer to get better. And I think, to your point, if they can draft somebody, an impact player who can accelerate the progress that E.J. Manuel has shown and the progress that we'd like to see him show moving forward, I think that's the attraction for the Bills decision makers. Let's get better around E.J. I wish I had a nickel for every time Marrone and Whaley said that over the last 4 months, trying to get better around E.J. Manuel, last year's first-round draft pick. A pick like Sammy Watkins would, I think, go a long way towards that. If they can make that happen. Dave in Williamsville. Hello, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, John. I hate the idea of moving up. I've heard it time and time again that this is one of the deeper drafts. You know, we have guys like Stevie Johnson, Kyle Williams isn't getting any younger. Fred Jackson isn't getting any younger. I would be a fan of moving down. If you look at, you know, Kiko Alonso was defensive player of the year last year, second-round pick. Cordy Glenn, our starting left tackle, second-round pick. Eric Wood was a late first-round pick. LaVecchia was a second-round pick. Bird was a second-round pick. We need to get guys in the top 60, as many people as we can. I think Beckham is a great receiver. I think if you like Zach Martin that much and you think he can be a player, then you do it. You want to get as many people as you can get in that top 50, top 60, or whatever your cutoff is. But I hate the idea of moving up and losing picks down the road. I still have a question about E.J. Manuel. I don't want to lose a pick for next year and have a quarterback that I don't necessarily want. I'm not saying that he's not going to be good, but the jury's still out on that. And I don't want to lose a pick that I need maybe to get a quarterback down the road if he doesn't pan out this year.
Yeah, let me explore that with you for a second, Dave. And you're the second or third person to say that, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I think that's an awfully cautious way to approach it, isn't it? In other words, you are hedging your bets that E.J. might not work out, so let's not give up our first rounder next year.
I don't necessarily believe that he won't work out, and a Watkins might be a great player, but I think playoff games are when Super Bowls are won with depth, and they're won with the Shermans in the fifth round. They're done with other guys in different rounds, later rounds. Mm-hmm. You got to get guys that can play the game and play it well, and from the fourth, fifth, and sixth round and draft picks. I think that's how Super Bowls are won. Mm-hmm. I want to have E.J. do well. But I'd also like to win a Super Bowl eventually.
Right, and I don't dispute that you want to see E.J. do well. But let's think of it through the personnel department's eyes here for a second. They are all in on E.J. Manuel. They've said that over and over and over again. They scouted him, drafted him last year. Well, they might be thinking to themselves, if E.J. doesn't work out, it's going to be somebody else drafting the next quarterback, and what do I care what we leave them in the cupboard? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to win this year, too, and there's all kinds of teams that can hedge their bets this year and do what they need to do next year. Next year's a long time away.
It is.
But I also think that you want to – I think that Odell Beckham is going to be a great football player. I don't think he's much worse than Watkins. I still have some questions about the Evans, the receiver from A&M, mm-hmm. his work ethic and some of the things that I've seen, especially in the Duke game. The bowl game he played in was a horrible game for him, where he should have stepped up and he didn't. He's a two-year football player, really. And, I mean, he runs somewhat hard, but he catches passes because he blocks people out, not because he's a great athlete necessarily, in my opinion.
I hear you. To your point, Beckham is moving up. I mean, I think most people expect Beckham to be gone in the first half of the first round, I would think, maybe into the 20s, but I think he's first half of the first round. Dave, thanks for your call. You make some good points. And if you're thinking about this draft for the Bills, and we focus so much on the first rounder, they have two of the first 41 picks as it stands right now, first and second round, three of the first 73 picks, which is almost, three of the first 60 picks that Dave just talked about. Three of the first 73. That's some, you can work with that a little bit. Chuck in Buffalo. Hi, Chuck. You're on the air.
I just wanted to run a couple things by you. I've been hearing so much kind of doomsday for Bills scenarios, especially when you had the gentleman from Ireland, who's obviously a lot more in tune than I am, mentioning that he didn't think a quarterback was going to be drafted until, like, Cleveland's second pick in the first round, number 20-something. I was maybe wishful thinking, but what if there was a slew of quarterbacks taken? Like maybe somebody started with a trade with St. Louis and grabbed the quarterback, and then the other teams thought, well, you know, all them teams need a quarterback. So what if all of a sudden they said, maybe we got to get these quarterback now? They might not be there in the second round.
It appeared, you know what? They do need quarterbacks. There's four teams in this draft early on that need quarterbacks. The issue is nobody values those quarterbacks as premium first round picks. So is your point somebody's going to jump and take one and then the dominoes will start to fall at quarterback? That could happen, I guess. But before the Bills pick, I don't know. What are you thinking? Top 10?
They're hopeful. I know it's wishful thinking, but that's what I was just hoping. And then maybe someone slides to us, maybe even Mac slides up to Buffalo without us giving up anything. And then my other point was just quickly, and again, on your opinion, second-year wide receivers, I think, especially when they're not chosen as a top 10 pick, there's usually a big development in my experience just watching football. And I was wondering, what about the Bills' second-year players?
Yeah.
Specifically the receivers.
Yeah, Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin, who's more of a specialty type. But, yeah, they're just, they're slowly working onto the field here in these off-season conditioning workouts they have here. They're not doing any teamwork. As soon as they get on the field and teamwork, I can't wait to take a look at those two, in particular Robert Woods, hoping that he's bigger, stronger, and quite frankly more comfortable, knows how to play a little bit more, especially for his second year in this offense. Because I agree with you. Second years for wide receivers, I think, are huge. Marv Levy, going way back now, but Marv Levy always said that second wide receiver is a difficult mental adjustment for players, and that it takes them into their second year before they really make important strides. I mean, it happened with Stevie. Eric Moulds. Look at Eric Moulds. He was almost lost his first and even into his second season with the Buffalo Bills. And once they, it seems like in many cases, not all, but in many cases, once those receivers get into their second season, things just sort of click and things sort of happen for them. And the Bills would certainly benefit if that happens to Robert Woods, especially Robert Woods, and to another extent, Marquise Goodwin. All right, we'll take a break and talk more about the draft, and you can phone in your thoughts. Last chance if you have any thoughts or questions on draft prospects. If there's a guy you don't know about, a guy you like, a guy you've seen or heard about, we got our guy Kevin Weidel up next. He is the college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN. We've been talking to him for months. Last chance for Kevin Weidel coming up when we return. He is covering the draft at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut. Maybe he's in New York. Have to check with him. But Kevin Weidel will be on the line with us live when we return, and you can phone in your comments and questions, maybe a favorite player of yours. Phone lines are open at 803-0550, the number. Toll-free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. And follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Kevin Weidel, when we return, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yep, we're here until 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Got some draft television tomorrow. Make sure you check it out tomorrow night, Wednesday, on WKBW-TV Channel 7 in Buffalo. 7 o'clock, our 2014 Buffalo Bills draft special. I'll be on that. Chris Brown, Alexandra Vitale, Jeff Russo. We're going to hear from Doug Whaley, Jim Monas, the Bills player personnel director. E.J. Manuel relives his big day from a year ago, the draft day. We'll hear from Charles Davis of the NFL Network. Much more tomorrow night, the 2014 Buffalo Bills draft special. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on WKBW-TV Channel 7 in Buffalo. Talking about the draft tonight, we're going to hear from Kevin Weidel soon from ESPN. He is on his way. I believe he might already be there in Bristol, Connecticut, getting set up to help ESPN's draft coverage. Want to hear from you as well. We're talking about trading up. The Bills again in the news today about possibly trading up. It was Ian Rappaport who reported today that the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions are still looking to trade up. He said they're looking to moving into the top five, looking for a bargain to move up. What do you think it is the Bills are looking for in particular? What do you hope they're looking for? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Maybe you think it's a bad idea. Some of our callers do so far. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let's go to Steve in Syracuse. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Call, John. Sure. Regarding their number ninth pick, if they just stay there, number nine, and Whaley's mentioned this in the past, they don't really have any needs, particularly your fill-ins. He said that he leaned toward the idea of best athlete available at the time. Can't go wrong with doing that. Now, the best athlete available at the time, the way it appears, at nine, they're not going to be on offense. Everybody's going after offense, and wide receivers are going crazy over this stuff. The defensive people are just slipping down there, just waiting to be plucked. At nine, Mosley should be available, the top inside linebacker rated in the draft, and the top defensive tackle slash defensive end, Aaron Donald from Pittsburgh, will be there. We got two of the best position players in the draft sitting there waiting to be plucked. Whaley, with his background, he's from Pittsburgh. If you look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers did over the years, many times they pick defense and linebackers, especially the first pick of the draft, and they're highly successful. I think in the offensive tackles, wide receivers, it's a very deep draft for them. You can get one later on, not go crazy. I know there's plenty of wide receivers way down in the draft you're going to get there. Are better than Watkins, but they're available. They're there, but I think the defense is going to be there, and they're going to have the shot at the two best position players on the board at that time, and that's the way to go. And it's probably the safest picks they can make, and they'll do well with it. I really like to see that done.
All right, thanks, Steve. Yeah, thanks. Safest picks, it would be safe to stay at nine. There's no question about that. And they will get a good player at nine. There's no question about that. That good player could be on defense, Mosley, as you said. That good player could be on offense, maybe the tight end Eric Ebron. But I guess, and I'm not advocating moving up, but when you talk about the persistent reports that the Bills are in the hunt to move up into the draft, in the top five of the draft, that's not a safe move. That's an aggressive move. And some people think that's what the Bills should be aggressive in this draft. I think you should be aggressive to a point, if you're asking for my opinion. I would hate to give up next year's first rounder. I would hate to not have a first rounder next year. I think it's not worth moving up if you're going to have to give up a first rounder. Second rounder this year or next, yeah. Second rounder plus, whatever it is, I'd listen to that for the right player. To me, and this is what we're putting out there on the table today, to me, the question is, who's that right player? Who is it you want to see him move up to get? Who do you think they're looking for? I think the logical choice, It appears is Sammy Watkins, but I don't know. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Here's Craig in Clarence. Hello, Craig. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on? Nice to be on my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I personally would really hate to see them actually move up in the order here. You know, if you look around the league at some of the better teams in the league, and you look to see how many positions they have filled, top 15, you know, the player ranked in the top 15 in the league, you know, they're just stacked front to back. We have a lot of positions, I think, that we could fill that are not in the top 15 right now. And if you start giving away second-round picks, you know, possibly first-round next year, possibly the second-round this year and next year, whatever it may be, to actually move up at this draft, I think you're just giving away too many chances on the fact of actually getting somebody that might be, you know, filling those spots. You know, there's so many blatant weaknesses. I think you really need the help.
The Bills need the help. It's funny, and you're well within your rights to say that, but it's funny, the Bills don't view it as that. And we're going to talk to a guy at 8 o'clock, Neil Hornsby from ProFootballFocus.com, who wrote a draft needs analysis on that website. It's a analytics website. He doesn't think they have a lot of needs either. I mean, what you just said, Craig, was they have so many needs to fill. Several times over the last few months, Doug Whaley has said, we feel like we've got a pretty good roster right now. And Neil Hornsby wrote at ProFootballFocus.com that they don't have crying needs on the roster. We'll ask him about that when he's on the air with us after the top of the hour. Paul in Amherst. Hello, Paul. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Murph. Thanks for taking my call. I don't think the Bills should move up in the draft. Unless, you know, I've heard some speculation that maybe they're looking to draft Clowney, but I hope they're not planning to do that. I don't trust Clowney's work ethic.
Yeah, I mean, that's a popular assessment of Jadeveon Clowney. I think to get Clowney, you got to move up to one or possibly two. I mean, reports out today that Khalil Mack from UB might be the number one pick overall. To me, that's too high a price. They're definitely talking giving up a first-rounder. I would not want to see him do that. But, you know, they might. Thomas in Florida. Hello, Thomas. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. If we're going to move up, which if we do, I'd like to get Khalil Mack. And I look at him, and I just think he's an all-purpose back. Linebacker, I'm sorry.
Yeah, all-purpose. He can play in a variety of different systems. Doesn't necessarily fill a need that the Bills have. Would you argue that he does?
No, I don't think it's a real need since we got
Oh, I'm sorry. We lost you. My fault. You can call back. That was my fault. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry about that. But you make a good point. It doesn't necessarily fill a need. Let's go to Jay in South Buffalo. Hello, Jay. You're on the air. Jay, are you there?
Yes. I'm just wondering if the guy from ESPN can answer where Tim Newts and Brandon Oliver might go in terms of the draft. I know Oliver's got a chance of going high round, and maybe Newts does too.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold because we're trying to track down the guy from ESPN, Kevin White. We haven't been able to do that yet. I'll put you on hold. Hang on there for a second, Jay. Good questions about Alex Newts and Brandon Oliver. We're going to try to make contact with Kevin White here. Louie in Buffalo. Hi, Louie. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah. Someone stole my thunder. I was saying, everybody's saying Sammy Watkins, but they're not saying anything about Khalil Mack. I've been watching NFL Network, and they're saying that he's the best in the entire draft, athleticism.
Yeah, I saw that today. They're back. Actually, Mike Mayock said it way back at the combine that he was number one on his prospect board. Again, for the Bills, does Khalil Mack fit the bill? Does he fill a need? Not necessarily. Is he going to be a really good player? It appears that he will be, but I don't know that he's something the Bills desperately need, whereas Sammy Watkins, is a guy that can help E.J. Manuel take, hopefully, some major strides forward this year, which is why, to me, it would be Watkins they'd be interested in. I could be wrong. We'll take a break, come back with more. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live from One Bills Drive tonight on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here till 9 o'clock tonight, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're going to try to, actually, Kevin Weidel tied up with a production meeting at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut. We're going to try to move him to tomorrow night. And I get it. That's his job. He's got to do that. He's got to be in this meeting. But maybe we'll get him on tomorrow night. He's been so good to us over the last few months. I hope we can get him on for one last word about the NFL draft. And along those lines, Jay in South Buffalo. Jay, we're going to bring you back up here. So we won't ask the question for Kevin Weidel. Jay, you still there? I can tell you what was told to me, and was it Weidel? I don't know, somebody we've had on the show, about Brandon Oliver. People look at him as a sixth or seventh rounder. And it only takes one, obviously, to look at him as a fifth rounder. But they look at Brandon Oliver as a potential sixth or seventh rounder. I saw him a couple Saturdays ago. He had visits to the Dolphins and the Atlanta Falcons, I want to say, maybe more since then. Alex Newts, I don't know. The Bills coordinator of college scouting, Doug Majewski, said that he was a draftable prospect, but he doesn't appear on too many lists as a late-round pick, so maybe he'd be better suited to the call right after the draft of a college free agent. Does that answer your question, Jay?
Yeah, it does. I'd love to hear Waddle's, his opinion on it.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it'd be along those lines, somebody with maybe some extra picks would take a chance on him.
Sure.
You kind of need if Buffalo took a chance on him, actually.
Yeah, I agree. All right, thanks, Jay. Sorry, Kevin, we're going to try to get Kevin Weidel on the air with us tomorrow, and we'll pose that question to him. The draft coming up, as you know, just 2 days away, actually almost exactly 2 days from now. And you just got another day or so, a little bit more than a day, to get involved in the Bills and M&T Bank's Predict the Picks draft contest. It goes until midnight tomorrow. Not tonight, but tomorrow night, midnight. Go to BuffaloBills.com, Predict the Picks. You'll be asked a series of 10 multiple-choice questions specific to the Bills draft moves, and the Bills, of course, with the ninth overall pick. Fans who correctly guess 80% or more of the questions are entered to win the contest's grand prize, which is an exclusive meet and greet with the Bills' first pick. So go to the Bills' website, BuffaloBills.com, for the Bills and M&T Bank Predict the Picks 2014 NFL Draft Contest, but it expires tomorrow night at midnight. So you got to get moving if you intend on doing that. A lot of draft talk coming up later on the show at 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Neil Hornsby. He is the founder and co-owner of ProFootballFocus.com. And he's going to tell us about draft needs. He's done an exhaustive graphical survey of every team in the NFL, all 32 teams, and what they need in the draft. We'll focus on the Bills with him. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to focus on a couple of intriguing Wisconsin products at 8:30. Prospects. I always say products. Prospects. One of them is the linebacker, Chris Borland. The other is Jared Eberderis, a wide receiver that we saw at the Senior Bowl. Just want to get the perspective on them from Jeff Patrikas of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's coming up at 8:30. Bill Polian did a conference call just yesterday talking about the draft, and one of the questions that came up was, do you draft for talent or do you draft for character, and how much does character play into draft day selections? Polian, seven-time NFL Executive of the Year, former Bills GM, went on to build the Carolina Panthers and take the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl, addressed the question, how much does character play into evaluation of all of these college prospects?
I would say that the talent assessment now represents about 60%. When I first got in, I'd say that was probably about 75%. The accent on character has increased over the years, although I must tell you that once Marv Levy became our head coach, and from then on throughout the end of my career, character was always at least 40-45% of our judgment. We called it football temperament, which encompasses more than just what the word character means. But there's no question that it's become more of an issue. And I think right now, as we sit here and discuss players, one of the disadvantages that we as analysts have, and one of the things, frankly, I miss the most, is that we don't have that other 45% of the information or 40% of the information. The clubs have that, and they should. That's the way it should be, and it ought not to be public. And each club weighs it differently. But it is, no doubt, it's a factor.
Bill Polian speaking on a conference call yesterday about character. He makes two excellent points. one made last week by one of our guests, Jack Bechter, the agent, about how all of the draft experts, all of the amateur and professional draft experts, none of them really have access to the intense character, for lack of a better term, studies that go on these draft picks and the spade work and the groundwork that went into it on the part of area scouts. Second great point made by Bill Polian was, it's a good point, but I like the fact that he calls it football temperament as opposed to character. I mean, character, I think, means something else. Is he a good person, a stand-up guy, good moral fiber? That's important. Football temperament, I think, encompasses, as Bill said, character, but it also includes much more, including work ethic. How much does a player like the game? How much does a player get along with his teammates? Do his teammates like him? Do coaches like to be around this guy? Do people like to be around this guy? That's all part of what I believe Polian and Marv Levy used to preach as football temperament. Character's a part of that. You got to be a good person. You got to be a good guy. But it's also, do you like to play football? Do you like to practice football? Do you like to put in the work to get better in football? And I think that's part of the football temperament that Polian talks about. And I do agree with him that it's increasingly important. And it is, I think, a large share of the talent evaluation that goes on for all of these teams over the last several months. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to talk about needs going into this draft, including the Buffalo Bills. Pro Football Focus and analytics site did an extensive survey of every one of the 32 teams as far as their needs. What do they need going into this draft? We'll talk with Neil Hornsby, the founder and co-owner of ProFootballFocus.com, when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, yeah. Hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, just a couple of days away from the National Football League draft. And before you get to the draft, you got to figure out who needs what. That's been the process going on in 32 NFL teams for the last several months. The guys at ProFootballFocus.com have done it as well. In fact, Neil Hornsby, the founder and owner of ProFootballFocus.com, joins us on the line right now, and he has gone through the entire league to evaluate draft needs. Neil, good evening. Thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight.
Nice to speak to you as always, John.
You've got a series of articles. You go division by division through the NFL assessing draft needs. And before we get to the needs of the Buffalo Bills, it's important to note, as you do in your series of postings, Neil, that this is not an attempt to predict who's going to be drafted where, correct?
That's absolutely the case. We're not draft nicks, as it were. We don't actually, or at the moment, we're not looking at college players. We spend all our time looking at the NFL, so this is simply saying, after free agency, where are the needs on each of the individual teams?
And you've done that team by team, division by division, and put them in a color-coded grid. Can you describe how you've presented this on the website for us, Neil?
Yes, certainly. So what we've tried to do, we like lots of colors at Pro Football Focus. We've basically divided every single player, or more likely position, into five different categories. Either the top one, it's a high priority, which is a red. Orange is there's a definite need to improve at that position. Yellow is they may need a player, but it may not be until next year. Green, they may want to think about the future, but they probably don't want to have to do anything, or that's light green. And then dark green, there's no immediate need at all. And we've put every position into that category. And what I've tried to explain is sometimes you may look at the positions and you may think, well, that doesn't seem quite right. Maybe they will want to address that. And the example I would give you is maybe Corey Graham and Nickell Robey for the Buffalo Bills. You may want to address either of them, but when you put them together, that's a perfectly solid nickel combination that you will almost certainly get good play out of one of them. So I would see that as a no immediate need for the Buffalo Bills in that area.
What went into your determination of whether there was a need? Is it all the metrics that the grades that you guys assigned to each player during the regular season?
That's exactly it. So we grade every single player on every single player of the NFL regular season. We're the only people to do that. Not even any of the NFL teams will grade every player on every player. We do that, and we look at that performance over a number of years. We'll look at what they've picked up in free agency, and we'll say, for that particular position, our view is whatever you need to upgrade, that's fine. The other things that come into it, obviously, is a contract position. You may have a perfectly good player there, but he may be in the last year of his contract, and you know that that team's going to be hard up against the salary cap, so they're going to have to address that because there's no way they're going to get that player back, for example.
Does age play into it as well, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And it's becoming very much more a case in the NFL. There's a number of players who really are very, very good players. I can remember the case of Brandon Moore last year. He was available. He was available to anybody who wanted him. Nobody seemed interested at all. Eventually, Dallas picked him up, and maybe this is the clue. Dallas picked him up, and then Brandon Moore couldn't get on the plane. But Brandon Moore was a top-five guard, but he was an all-top-five guard, and nobody seems to want to pay for age these days because they're looking at it and saying, when's that guy actually going to fall off a cliff? The older they are, the more likely it is to happen.
And also, as by way of illustration, as I look at the AFC East grid that you have up there, the Patriots, the quarterback spot, Tom Brady, whose name is in bold, meaning he's 30 years of age or older, you've got him in light green, may want to consider the future, while the other three teams, the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins, you have it in darker green, no immediate need. That's got to be a function of age, I would guess?
That's absolutely a function of age. You know, Tom Brady is clearly the class of the AFC in terms of quarterback play by some considerable margin. But he is getting on in age now. There's no question about that. And you've also got to look at, and this is the crucial part, Ryan Mallett really hasn't shown a lot in preseason. He's also in a contract year. Who's to say that he's going to be around next year? So the Patriots definitely have to consider quarterback, you know, as a later need. But that's the way that we've done it in this particular scenario, John.
And I have one more question, and I guess it relates to methodology. You don't really dive into depth on the roster. I know there's only a finite number of spaces you can have, but you don't really measure, you know, what's behind these starters and a couple of others that you have listed here.
In a way, we do, because I probably haven't done as good a job of articulating this as I should.
This is
the
court.
Although we've put the names of the people in for the names of the likely starters for the help of our fans to understand who's likely to play there.
Mm-hmm.
The grade really represents the position in total. So, for example, the Corey Graham and Mikel Roby example. Is the one that I would use.
I got you. Yeah, and you mentioned that earlier. You're right. We're on the line with Neil Hornsby. He is the founder and owner of ProFootballFocus.com. He has done a complete survey of the National Football League on the website about draft needs. And let's start with the AFC East. Start with the Buffalo Bills. And like you, Neil, I am surprised. The Bills have said a couple of times in this run-up to the draft how they don't feel like they have a pressing need. And that's the way you look at it, too, even for a team that only won six games a year ago.
That's absolutely right. And, I mean, if you look at the likely weakest part of the roster, that's got to be quarterback. But there's, you know, E.J. Manuel had some good games. He played poorly at times last year. There's no way they give up on him immediately. So whilst you may say it's a weakness for the team, it's certainly not a draft need. And drafting another quarterback at this particular stage is in the early rounds. We'll be just sending all the wrong message to your first-round draft pick from last year. But beyond that, you know, there are some areas that need to be addressed. But when you've only got probably one, maybe two positions on the offensive line, you know, a fullback and maybe a free safety, that's not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. And those aren't really crucial positions for your team either.
The Bills have no players that you list as upgrade a high priority. You mentioned the couple that are orange on your grid and need to improve at this position, including the fullback Frank Summers, offensive lineman Chris Williams and Chris Hairston, and the safety Denora Searcy. When you look at your draft needs, though, the number one that you guys point out you think the Bills need is a defensive end. Tell me about that, Neil.
Yeah, so it may come as a bit of a surprise because, you know, the Bills have got Alan Branch. They've got a very strong defense overall. But they've got Jim Schwartz on board now. And so they've got Jim Schwartz on board now. And he's going to play a completely different defensive scheme than what they were probably anticipating with Mike Pettine. He will play a very, very vanilla 4-3. That's been his modus operandi wherever he's been. It's been the case in Tennessee. It's been the case in Detroit as well. And what they will probably do is they'll move Alan Branch into an incredibly strong rotational defensive tackle. When you've got Carl Williams, Marcel Darius and Alan Branch rotating in the middle of your defense, you've got no worries at all. And then they'll have Mario Williams at one end, and that means they'll need a conventional defensive end on the other side. That, at the moment, looks like it's going to be Jerry Hughes. Jerry Hughes had a really good year last year, you know, moved from being a potential bust to probably the most productive pass rusher in the NFL last year in terms of pressure per pass rush. But he played as a situational player, and that's a different matter from a defensive end on the left side where you're going to want some solidity against the run. He may be able to do it. He may be, but he couldn't do it in Indianapolis when they, you know, they required that of him there. So I think a defensive end, somebody to play on the defensive left side, is probably a key need, or the key need for them. But is it an absolute pressing need? I don't think so. Not really. I think the defense is too good overall for that.
Neil, when we look at your chart of the draft needs in the AFC East, one thing that jumped out at me, and I guess I knew this, the New York Jets, very strong, very young up front defensively, and really suspect at the linebacker spot. Calvin Pace, David Harris, DeMario Davis, Quentin Cobles. You see essentially all four of those spots as being sort of need positions for the New York Jets, huh?
Yeah, they've always seemed as if they wanted to make do. They believed they had somebody in David Harris. They've always had a higher opinion of him, and I think the league in general have, than we have. He's been a decent player, but he's now, you know, coming towards the end, and he's certainly in decline. DeMario Davis has never really done anything. Quentin Cobles is an interesting player because actually, you know, at maybe the position for the Bills, you know, that defensive left end position, he may be a really good fit for that. But trying to pay outside linebacker, trying to provide consistent pass rush, you know, that is something that he hasn't really been able to do. He was fine when he was on the defensive line for the Jets, but he hasn't been able to move up. And Calvin Pace, really, even when he came from Arizona the first time, he's never really moved on and never really was good value for money for that big contract they gave him a number of years ago now. But they like him. He's clearly a good locker room guy, and they bring him back year after year. But realistically, you're absolutely right. There's not a lot there.
Hey, Neil, and all staying in the AFC East at the Miami Dolphins, we all knew the upheaval they have on the offensive line last year. They signed Brandon Albert, but it appears, based on your chart, that the right side of the Dolphins' offensive line needs some attention in this draft.
Yeah, it absolutely does. They've obviously let Tyson Clairbaugh go. I thought he was a pretty good signing. He took a long time to get into his swing, and then when he did, he was pretty good. But up until then, he was certainly a liability. But at the moment, they've got probably Dallas Thomas playing right guard, Jason Fox, the Detroit Lions cast-off, playing right tackle. That's going to need to be addressed, I feel, and that's going to be a key need for them. They've got to get something in at right tackle to try and take some of the pressure off Ryan Tannehill.
And it looks like the Patriots' offensive line needs some attention.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's an interesting character because Tom Brady, if he can step up into the pocket, if there's pressure off the edge, nobody is better at dealing with edge pressure than Tom Brady. However, interestingly, with pressure in his face, he's one of the least productive quarterbacks, and that's going to be a problem because Ryan Wendell, and this has got something to do with the, you know, some of his marginal decline in the last few years, is, whilst Rossi's been a good run blocker, has never been a good pass protector. Now you're looking at Dan Connolly as well. He's certainly on the end. And Logan Mankins is starting to show signs of wear. So they need to do something to address that center and keep Tom Brady nice and clean in the middle.
Neil, I haven't had a chance to go through the entire league, but can you say off the top of your head which NFL teams appear to have the most glaring needs at the, you know, the widest variety of positions going into this draft?
I don't think there's any doubt at all that the Jacksonville Jaguars still have an awful lot to do. They have, you know, real problems at quarterback. You know, when you're looking at Chad Henne as your starter, that's an issue. They've tried to address some of the problems on their offensive line, but that's only so. As far as halfbacks are concerned, I know they believe that they'll probably run Toby Gerhardt into the ground, but they've got nothing really behind him. They're struggling completely at linebacker. Their defensive line, they've pulled some parts together, but David Caldwell and his team still have a long way to go. But I think Shad Khan knew he was in for the long game with this team when he picked them up. He knew that there was an awful lot of work to be done when he took David Caldwell on as his general manager. So it'll be interesting to see what they did. They didn't really play that heavily in free agency. Again, they picked up a few players, but when Zane Beadles is your top choice or your big name signing, you're not really addressing the issues for the long term, I don't think, they'd believe they were.
As I look at your draft needs chart for that division, the AFC South, it appears that the only team with a good quarterback situation is the Colts down there. You've got Jacksonville, Houston needing an immediate upgrade, a high-priority upgrade at quarterback, and Tennessee looking to improve over Jake Locker.
Yeah, well, when they didn't pick up Jake Locker's fifth-year option, that sent a clear message that he probably wasn't the player for them. But the Colts have got a really good, they're starting to round into a really good roster. I have to say, there's been a number of moves that Ryan Grigson's made that I just think strange, but I think he may end up having the last laugh, because when you look at it, it's like the Bills. It's a pretty solid roster, really. And when you've got Andrew Luck at quarterback, you've got Dwayne Allen will be, if he gets healthy, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, and he's got every facility to be Gronkowski, as long as he doesn't get injured again, like Gronkowski did. They've got good players, you know, they've got a decent offensive line, they've got good players at wide receiver. It's a really quite good roster, and I can't see that any of the other teams in that division will be able to live with them this year.
Hey, Neil, it seems to me that these charts, your ProFootballFocus.com draft needs charts for each division, they'd be kind of a good resource to have on hand for football fans as they watch the draft unfold this week, huh?
Yeah, I would definitely think so. We've also had some of our team customers who they like to have this sort of thing for their general managers. We've had a couple of them asking us for the information earlier. So it's not just the fans, it's the general managers as well that are looking at them at the moment. So that's always a good sign for us.
How many team customers do you have?
We have 11.
Wow.
We have 11 that take, a substantial amount of additional information over what you can get on the website.
And if I asked you if the Buffalo Bills were customers, would you tell me?
I wouldn't.
You don't blame me for asking.
I'm not allowed to any of the contract that we have in place.
Yeah, I figured as much. I was trying to trap you.
The only one team I'm allowed to say that is a customer, just because they came out and said it to the New York Giants, they very kindly, when they won the Super Bowl, came out and said they used a lot of our data, which was very kind of them.
That's pretty cool. Hey, Neil, is there anything else on ProFootballFocus.com that you think would be a benefit to fans this week, getting set for the draft or even on draft days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week? Any other features that are up?
We'll be addressing the draft in a whole host of needs, but if people want to know, and, you know, I always encourage people to look at these things themselves. You know, that's my view, but they for fans of individual teams who don't have to go through 32 teams, they only have to go through one, then our premium stats is all of that information that you've got that will allow you to look back over the years of every player back to 2007, how they've performed during that period of time in each particular category, and, you know, make their own minds up. I definitely encourage that. This is just me trying to encapsulate, you know, the data that we have in my view, but by the nature of 32 teams, I've only got so much time to spend on it. I'm sure the fans, with the information that we've got, could do an even better job.
Hey, Neil, I know we've talked about this before. You are you're in Great Britain, right? Tell me again where you are.
I am indeed.
And how much, I know there's tremendous interest, and many of your writers and contributors come from there, but how much interest is there in the draft? Is it similar to what we have over here?
Yeah, it's very similar, and, you know, we've realized it's something that we need to address as well. So we will be starting college football focus this year. That's always been a goal of ours. It's always been something that our team customers have been requesting, that our fans have been requesting. So we'll be starting that this year. We're hoping to do a whole host of games and therefore be able to give you the same level of detail for college players next year as for the NFL players this year. So that's a big, big step up for us, and something we're really, really looking forward to.
That's pretty ambitious. Yeah, I mean, how many more games are there? There's got to be four times as many games every week. At least you'd have to take a look at it.
Oh, yeah. We're looking at, so there's 2, 6, 7 NFL games. We're looking to do, well, you can always do as many as you want, but I would be absolutely delighted if we could get 800 games done this year. And that's not, obviously, we're not going to, with the draft, and that's the focus, really, at the moment. Obviously, we get the NFL games up within about 8 to 10 hours of that game finishing, so it's up on the site, the fans can see it almost immediately. That won't be the case with college football focus, because it will be aimed at, you know, the draft primarily.
Right.
So those games may not go up until 2 or 3 weeks after they've played. Some of the games will, you know, probably all of the SEC games will be up exactly, you know, the same week, if not the next day.
Wow. Hey, one more question about college football focus. You mentioned how you have team clients in the NFL. Is there any use for a college football program of the kind of work that you guys do? It's not as if they can move players around like teams in the NFL can do.
No, it's interesting because the number of the team customers use the information that we have for different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use it for everything. Some people use it just in the scouting department. Some people use it just in the coaching department. So clearly, there is so for example, we can, for any individual player in the NFL, give you a formation and the route combinations that will run off that particular set of formations. That's invaluable data for anybody because it allows you to look at trends for your opposition in the coming week. And rather than just going back 4 weeks, as the NFL teams will do, it allows them to go back as many weeks as they want or we have data for. So obviously from a college perspective, that's interesting. You know, a number of our clients last year when they were going up against, say, Chip Kelly, weren't particularly interested in what the Philadelphia Eagles had done last year. They were interested in looking at what Chip Kelly had done when he was in the college ranks.
Yeah, there you go.
So that would be useful as well. And I'm sure over a period of time, we'll pick up a number of college customers as well.
That's very interesting. I always learn a lot, Neil, when you're with us. Thank you very much for doing this work. Thanks for coming on our radio show tonight to talk about it.
It's always a pleasure, John. Anytime.
Neil Hornsby is the founder and owner of ProFootballFocus.com. He has written a series covering every team in the league going into the draft. Draft Needs, the AFC East, published just last week by Neil. I think he's caught up to all of the divisions by now. It's a great resource to have as you get ready for the draft and as you watch the picks come off the board to try to assess why did this team draft this guy. I mean, you have kind of a hazy sense of what a team's needs are, but on this Draft Needs grid that they have, you can absolutely see what's going on each team's roster at a glance, color-coded. Thanks to Neil Hornsby from ProFootballFocus.com. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Some interesting stuff from Neil Hornsby, ProFootballFocus.com. And there, again, if you're going to watch the draft, listen to the draft along with us on Thursday night, It's a good resource to have, I think, to have the team needs, courtesy of ProFootballFocus.com. Our thanks to him for joining us. On our website on BuffaloBills.com, all the last month, we've had a daily profile of the draft prospects. Tomorrow it is Devontae Adams, a wide receiver from Fresno State. Chris Brown with about a two-minute profile of Devontae Adams, including some thoughts from him and the combine and some video highlights from him. Today, up on our website, highlights of Chris Borland, the Wisconsin linebacker. We've been talking about him ever since the Senior Bowl. We decided to get an expert in to talk about Chris Borland and another one or two Wisconsin products. He covers Badger football for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is live on the line with us right now, Jeff Patricus. Jeff, thanks for being on the air with us. We appreciate it.
No problem. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Since I came home from the Senior Bowl at the end of January, I told everybody who would listen that Chris Borland was my favorite guy in this year's draft. And you know what? I think I'm like a lot of people. A lot of people have said that over the last few months, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of scouts really love him because, I mean, to use the cliche, old-time scouts will look at him and say, he's just a football player. If you turn on the tape, he's played outside linebacker in college. He's played an inside linebacker. He's played the Mike linebacker. But he makes plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's really instinctive. He's got great leverage when he explodes into a ball carrier. He's more athletic than you think. Now, when scouts have really started to evaluate people and they really nitpick guys to death, a couple of things they look at, they say his arms are too short. You know, so they look at can he get out and make plays and can he reach for guys? And he might be a little bit step slow from sideline to sideline. But other than that, I think most guys really think that he can play in the league and he can be a productive player.
You know, from what I remember talking to him, Jeff, down at the Senior Bowl, he's an Ohio native who grew up idolizing Chris Spielman. How did he get out of Ohio and wind up at Wisconsin?
Well, he didn't like Ohio State in general. He was not just – looked at that program, didn't really like it. If you get him on the phone and talk to him and get him really talking about it, he'll mention that he thinks that there's a little bit too much arrogance among the Ohio State fans for his taste. he came to Wisconsin, camped, and what the coaches did, they put him through different things and they tried him at different positions he played because he didn't play linebacker in high school. So he threw the ball, he ran the ball. They watched him kick and punt the ball. He's a guy who kicked a couple extra points at Wisconsin while he was here. He could have been an emergency punter, you know, if they really needed to at some point. So he did a lot of things where the coaching staff at the time, the head coach was Brett Bielema at the time when Borland came here, and they looked at him and they said, man, we don't know where we're going to play him yet, but we're going to find room for him because he can do just about anything. And he can throw the ball and catch the ball, too, if you really, really needed to. Huh. He loved Wisconsin. They loved him, and that was it.
He did pretty much everything while he was there, didn't he, including the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. But he made big plays, right? He was kind of all over the field making big plays, sacks, tackles for losses. He really earned that honor of Big Ten defensive player of the year.
Yeah, as a freshman, he came off the bench. He became a starter midway through his freshman season because of an injury to a guy in front of him. And they used him as a rush end coming off the edge, and he made all the plays in the backfield. Last year, I think what caught, you know, least eyes on the college level was they played at Ohio State, and he had a couple tackles against Carlos Hyde, one in a short yardage situation around the midfield area and one near the goal line where he just got low, and they basically stopped Carlos Hyde, who's about a 235-pound back, in his tracks and dropped him. And, yeah, and that's the kind of plays he can make because he's very explosive. He's got great leverage. So, yeah, I mean, he's fantastic against the run. He's not a kind of guy, in my opinion, who's going to go down the field and carry a tight end down the seam and stay with him in coverage. But if you don't put him in that situation, then it's not a liability.
We're on the line with Jeff Patricus, who covers Wisconsin football for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The knock on him, obviously, Jeff, is his lack of stature. He's 5 feet, 11 and a half inches, and he didn't run real well at the combine. And I would imagine that a lot of scouts, as much as everybody loves the plays that he makes, a lot of scouts believe that he probably doesn't have the measurables or may not have the measurables to be an early draft pick this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the lack of height is one thing because I guess I liken it to when Russell Wilson was coming out of Wisconsin. They said, well, he's a little short to play quarterback. There's not a lot of linebackers who are as short as Chris. I'm not sure what he officially was listed at the combine because
sometimes in college, the heights and weights they give us don't always match up with what those guys, you know, show off at the combine. But yeah, that his lack of height is an issue. And I think, again, getting from sideline to sideline, he's great in tight quarters. He's really quick and really explosive in tight quarters when he needs to be between the tackle boxes. Now he can get out and move, but I think there are some guys that they figure are just faster from sideline to sideline. But again, when you put on the tape, mostly, you know, as a pass rusher, in run support and in coverage in the flats and things like that, he's going to make plays for you.
Do you think people have compared him to the former Dolphin, Zach Thomas? Some have compared him to Spielman. Does he belong? Is that an apt comparison? Does he belong in the class with those guys?
I wouldn't say, you know, it's possible he could become that type of player, you know, over years. I think they use those examples of guys because of, you know, certain physical limitations. Now, the one thing in our paper, one of our NFL guys did a story along those lines as well recently, and a couple scouts said, while we do compare him to those guys, they played in a different time in the NFL where it wasn't as wide open, and they wonder if, like, even guys like Spielman and Zach Thomas, if they'd be coming out today, whether they'd be as effective today and whether they'd be able to play all three downs, whether they might be limited to early downs more in run support. I don't know. Again, I think Chris is much better against the run than he is against the pass. Not that he can't cover guys out in pass routes. I just don't see him really going deep down the field if that's what linebackers have to do in certain schemes. And one other thing I'll mention, we haven't addressed this. There are some injury concerns with him because he had some shoulder problems early at Wisconsin, in particular his left shoulder. But you know how it is. Different teams have different, you know, they evaluate differently. For some teams, a kid is an injury risk. For others, it's an acceptable issue.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, let me ask you about another guy coming out of Wisconsin. We had a chance to meet with this guy, the wide receiver, Jared Eberderis, at the Senior Bowl as well. It seems to me he's one of those guys that when the underclassmen declared, 100 underclassmen with all those wide receivers, Eberderis' stock really went down. What do you think of him, and what do you think he projects to in the NFL?
You know, just looking at what he did in college, I think he's listed at about 6'2", 190. I think he can be an effective slot receiver, you know, if he's the third or fourth guy in an offensive scheme, because he's not an imposing physical specimen, but he's wiry strong, so he's stronger than you think, and he's really quick. He's got fantastic feet. He gets in and out of his routes really quickly, and he does so deceptively. He doesn't give away where he's coming out of his breaks. So he gets on defensive backs up into them quicker than you think. And for the most part, he's got pretty good hands. I mean, he had a couple drops at Wisconsin, but generally he catches everything as long as you give him a chance to get his hands on the ball. And he's faster than you think. He was a hurdler in high school. He was used to having the ball in his hands because he was a dual threat quarterback when he walked on at Wisconsin coming out of high school. But I think as a slot receiver, he could be very effective.
Hey, Jeff, thank you for this. Thanks for coming on the air with us tonight to talk about these guys.
All right, you take care and have a good night.
Okay, Jeff Patricus covers Wisconsin Badgers football for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Our thanks to him for joining us tonight. A couple of guys down the line a little bit when you talk about the draft, the linebacker Chris Borland, who I've made no secret of my admiration for him and the way he plays, and Jared Eberderis, the wide receiver, a bigger wide receiver, and a Senior Bowl class that did not have a lot of standouts at wide receiver. Eberderis may have been one of them, but as I said, once the juniors declared, guys like Eberderis and Jordan Matthews, I think, got pushed down into the middle round, second round, third round. Eberderis might be a fourth rounder. Borland, I would think. He's an interesting guy. Some people have him as a first round. I don't know. Probably more likely they'd be a second or third rounder. Bill Polian, the former GM of the Bills, former president of the Colts. Of course, he built the Carolina Panthers into a playoff contender. In a conference call yesterday, was asked about down-the-line players. So much focused on Thursday night in the first round. But what about the second rounders, like perhaps Borland, and third rounders and beyond, like Eberderis? What about those second and third round players? What sort of impact should teams expect to get drafting in the second and third rounds?
The first and second rounder, you would like them to come in and contribute. And let me underline the word contribute, please. They will not make an impact. They will not. Rookies cannot make an impact by the definition of the fact that they're rookies. They have to learn how to play professional football. And for some reason, I guess it's because of all of us in the media, if we asked pro basketball fans which rookies would be impact players, even just fans, they would say none. It's rare when a rookie makes an impact in Major League Baseball. People just assume that it takes a long time to learn your trade. But somehow in the National Football League, we assume that these guys are going to come in and make the difference between winning and losing. And they rarely, rarely do. So you ask that the first guy and second round players become contributors. Third round players, that's hit or miss. Because the reason they're in the third round is because they have enough red flags in various different areas that may cause them to miss. So you hope that you're drafting for the right reasons, that you're right for the right reasons in the third round, and that guy becomes a contributor. Anybody after that that's a contributor, give your scouting staff a bonus because they've done a heck of a job, literally. And we did that in Indianapolis, by the way.
Bill Polian, who is the president of the Colts, former GM of the Bills, talking about expected contributions from second-rounders, third-rounders, and in rookies overall. It didn't surprise me that Bill had that sense about rookies contributing in the league. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a few minutes left here, and lines open if you have a comment or a question. And we'll end the show the way we started the show, getting your opinions on the possibility of the Buffalo Bills moving up in the draft. Increasing reports, Ian Rappaport out there today saying the Bills and the Lions among two teams that inquired about moving up in the draft. With a specific player in mind, Rappaport on the NFL Network tonight mentioned Sammy Watkins. I think that's the logical choice. But what do you think? Who is it the Bills are targeting if they attempt to move up in the draft? And who would you target? Who would you move up for? And at what cost? We'll talk about this when we return. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Coming down the home stretch of the show. Coming down the home stretch of the draft. The draft, of course, round one is Thursday night. And we'll be here live 7 to the end of the first round on Thursday. Again, 7 o'clock on Friday. As far as TV video, tomorrow night, the 2014 Buffalo Bills draft special tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on WKBW TV Channel 7 in Buffalo. I'll be on the air there. Chris Brown, Alexandra Vitale, Jeff Russo, Doug Whaley, one of our guests, Jim Monas, the Bills player personnel director. EJ Manuel relives his big draft day from a year ago. We've got Charles Davis of the NFL Network and much more. The WKBW TV, the place to watch it, 7 o'clock tomorrow night on Channel 7 in Buffalo, the 2014 Buffalo Bills draft special. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, mentioned the Bills today. The commissioner did a took over the league's official Twitter account for a while today, answering questions from fans on a variety of topics. And one fan tweeted in to Roger Goodell, "Are you committed to keeping the Bills in Buffalo?" Goodell's response, "We want to see the Bills continue to be successful in Western New York." That's it. What else did you expect him to say? Talking about the draft, it's coming up. And your thoughts with the reports out there. Ian Rappaport reporting tonight that the Bills and the Lions are interesting in moving up into the top five at a bargain rate. And he actually reported tonight that it is Sammy Watkins indeed the target. What do you think of that? Here is Terry in Oakfield. Hi, Terry. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay.
I was just kind of thinking it might be a good idea for them to move down two or three spots. If they're interested in Eric Ebron, I think he might be there at that point. They might be able to pick up an extra pick in the second or third round. Also kind of thinking that, if they move up, it's always a chance. You're taking a chance on one player, whereas if you move down, you're getting two players. And
yeah.
A better chance.
I think most teams would like to move down if you could, like you said, if you could assure them that you can get Ebron if you move down. All right. I think most teams would do that. But it's hard to do that, especially when you only have six draft picks, as the Bills have right now, especially when everybody knows it's a deep draft and that, people are going to want to move down. A lot of teams are going to want to move down. So it might be difficult to accomplish that on Thursday night. Sean in Florida. Hi, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air.
John, I was just calling about the draft. As far as moving up, I think that I don't really think that would be a good idea. Also, I kind of feel I'm a little bit on the fence here on this, on both sides, on giving up a lot of draft picks to move up. You know, if we were like another team who had a couple of first rounders, like Cleveland or I forgot the other team, but
St. Louis has a couple of
first rounders. We would probably have a little bit more ammo. It would be easier maybe to move up. More likely we could be able to do something like that. But I'd rather, if we would move down, maybe get some more picks in with only six or seven that we have. And I think at the end of the day, no matter what, they'll Doug Whaley and all will pick the right and the best player on the board, you know. So that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Sean, thanks. Yeah, and I would have to say, as we wind up the show, if I had to summarize what most callers felt, most callers, it sounds to me, prefer to move down and get extra picks than move up to go after one guy. And yet the reports persist that the Bills and the Lions, in this case, are interested in moving up to get Sammy Watkins. But it seems like most fans who've contacted our show tonight are interested in moving down, getting extra picks. By the way, speaking of the Bills, C.J. Mosley, we talked about him, the linebacker from Alabama. He told the NFL Network today that he's heard a lot from the Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. He said he had a lot more visits, but it appears that the Bills and the Ravens are showing the most interest in C.J. Mosley. The Bills, of course, picked ninth overall. Is that too high for Mosley? Might be. But he told reporters today that it's the Bills and the Ravens who seem to be most interested. Another night of draft talk coming up tomorrow before the draft. And among our guests tomorrow night, Mark Domenech, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks, to get his take on pre-draft preparations. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Pete Cardis, our engineer. Our producer is Jay Harris. And the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. See you tomorrow night at 7, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We'll be live here at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.